Any comments? All right, we'll move on. I have no reports. Are there any committee reports? None? All right, we'll move on then to approval of the minutes or corrections.
So moved.
Second.
Discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. No one opposed? Very good. Next item is the appointment of Michelle Mislobek.
Robert Riddell.
One of the county executive appointments you are hopefully going to confirm tonight is the appointment of Michelle Miloslavich to the library board. She is a teacher at Trevor High School.
Mm-hmm.
Approved if she teaches at Tremper. It's in my district.
But she's here to answer any questions, give any comments, talk about what you like.
Is this a new appointment? Or?
This is her first time on the library board.
So what makes you want to be on the library board?
So, I teach English, so I love books and I love libraries.
Obviously, you have an interest, but you know that it takes time, a lot of time.
So. Yes.
Yeah, you're ready for that, huh?
I am.
Okay, that sounds good enough to me.
Move to approve.
Second.
Sir.
All right, are there any discussion?
I just want to say welcome aboard and thanks for stepping up and taking on that position.
Yeah, great, thank you.
I love the library. It's cheaper than buying the books.
It's a good environment to be in.
It's viable.
All right, any other discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
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 Thank you. And then your position will be presented to the board at the next meeting.
All right, great. Thank you.
Okay. We'll circulate.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you, Michelle.
Yeah.
The next item is the appointment of Clara Lynn Taffa as the director. I'm sorry.
Number seven, right?
Mr. Pitts as the to the Housing Authority Board.
And Mr. Pitts is a reappointment, and so we routinely don't require them to come before. But we are hoping that you will confirm Mr. Pitts.
Second.
He has good attendance, right?
Yes.
Further discussion. Did someone second that?
Only
yeah.
Perfect.
All right. Further discussion on that. Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed. Very good. Then we'll circulate this, and then the appointment again of the new director of the Division of Human Resources, Clara Lynn Taffa.
You have all met Clara. She has worked with us for 4 months. She started just after Memorial Day. She hasn't left, which was a really good sign for me. Mostly, I must tell you, it's a joy working with her. She's incredibly talented in this area. She's going to do great work for you, and I hope you will confirm her appointment.
All right. Discussion or questions that you would like to address to?
Move to approve.
Second.
Right, second.
Second.
Is he saying that just because he wants to leave? Or?
No, she's good, man.
All right, further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Very good. Thank you. Then we have the resolution from the sheriff for the a grant for alcohol enforcement.
Good evening. Good evening.
This is a grant offered through the Wisconsin DOT Bureau of Transportation and Safety in regards to alcohol enforcement on the interstate, it looks like. Kenosha County is partnering with Racine Sheriff, who is the grantee and administrator of the Box Alcohol Impaired Drivers Enforcement Grant. The grant funds are used to reimburse deputy sheriff's overtime and benefit costs for ex-patrols scheduled. Deputies are expected to work an approximately total of 322 overtime hours from October 1st, 2018 through September 30th, 2019. The resolution, budget modification, and grant award documents are attached on the form, hopefully before you, and the Kenosha County Sheriff's Department expects the share of the partnered award for the KSD will be about $20,000 for that posted period.
Okay. applied. Discussion, anyone?
Just, and just Racine is 40,000?
Yeah, roughly, correct.
Motion approved.
Is there a second to Supervisor O'Day? Is there further discussion on this?
The question, are you patrolling both Racine and Kenosha County, or just Racine?
Just our jurisdiction, correct. Kenosha County.
Any other discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Passes and we'll circulate. This is about budget modification, right? Next is Public Works letter to repurpose some money. Jeff.
Good evening, everyone. I come before you tonight. Clement couldn't make it, so he asked me to sit in. In our 2018 capital budget for this year, the last truck we have to purchase is a triaxle vehicle. We had included in the budget $225,000 to purchase this. We went out and got a quote, and the lowest bid that we got was $253,900. Shortage of close to 30 grand.
No wonder why he wanted you to come.
The steel tariffs that have been put in place earlier this year are driving up prices.
As if saving that taxpayers' money, huh?
And also, there is a high demand for the vehicles. Fortunately, the other vehicles that we purchased this year, there's like, I think, seven or eight of them, which cost us $845,000, and we had a cumulative budget of $898,000. So we saved money on all those other vehicles that we purchased. So we have some money left over, and we'd like to repurpose $28,900 from it. All these expenditures are in the same appropriation level, so we don't have to go to any committees. The money's there. We don't need any new money. We just want to move it to buy this vehicle.
All right, discussion on that? This only requires a vote.
I move to approve it.
Second.
And a question?
Further
you always seem to find a little money someplace, don't you?
Yep.
Wow. That must be Walter Rutkowski's old moldy sack they talked about all the time.
Thank you, whoever Walter is.
That private joke that Walter Rutkowski served on the board back when I was back, way back when, and he would always say, if I could find it. We don't have the money for that. He'd always say, why don't you get it out of that old moldy sack you got laying around there? I know you got one someplace. That was Walter.
Budget eye, it always good looks man. Good when you
I've
get
never heard of that, but I will remember that now.
We might get a framed sock.
All right, any other discussion?
No.
Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Thank you very much.
Then we go to the presentation of the 2017 audit report.
Good evening, everyone. Catherine Andrea from the Finance Department.
Do you want me to put up the communications or the actual
Yeah, I'm
going to
start with the communications. I know that this year we are putting out the audit electronically, so we're on the screen here, and it's on the website, so if you can go along on the screen. I just want to say in general, you know, the audit, the Finance Committee is really the people that hire our auditors, and we pay good money to the auditors to do this. And so I know it seems like a rote kind of thing, but they come in and they look at our processes. They look at our internal controls. They look at, you know, the skills that people have here and that the results of our financial statements. They make sure that we have the right processes to come up with our financial statements are accurate and reasonable. So they also look at, because we have what's called a single audit, they look at that we're following the guidelines of our government grants. And that's that has to do with programmatic things, that we're record keeping, that we're serving the people. Yes?
Do they check the end to make sure that the grant is finished and it was all used for that?
Yes, they confirm. Okay. They do confirmations to the funding sources. Also, not only that, but the funding sources send auditors in all throughout the year. So our grants, our larger grants, are getting audited by the state and the feds. They come in because they're responsible for the money they give down that they subcontract, and they have to make sure, monitor, they don't do the same kind of audit, but they have to monitor that. So the county is going through auditors all during the year, and this is the culmination of our financial audit and our compliance audit, which, like I said, they're looking at internal controls. And I think that I really want to stress that we haven't had a finding in a number of years. And I think that's commendable to the whole system and to the board, the importance you give to your financial structure, you know, allowing us to get the new ERP system and really, you know, shore up our internal controls and have the best information that all comes into this report. I know it's old because it's from 2017, but I just want to show you the importance of this. The results of this is really a great report card, and it gives you assurance that, you know, the structure you put in place and the policies are working. So before I get into all the detail, I wanted to give the big picture.
I just ask a question. An example of a finding that they might find someplace else, not here, what would that be?
Well, if they had to make a material adjustment, say we, what we do is we put this together here.
Okay.
Our people put this together, and we give it to the auditors, and they determine whether it's a reasonable financial statement. If they have to find, if they find an entry that they have to adjust, like we didn't record some big amount of revenues, or we missed something, that would be a finding, because they'd say either your system isn't working right because you missed that, or you don't know, you know. So that's one example. Another example would be for compliance. Would be if we gave money out to clients and we didn't properly determine their eligibility,
document,
something like that,
or document the
results
of
things.
Done, yeah.
Yeah. So that's a couple of things that.
I thought that's kind of what it was, but I was.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So I think I'll go through. At first, what they do is they give us some management communications. They're required to do that, and in there, they tell the board that. There's a couple things that they tell you, that they didn't have any disagreements with the management, that everything they looked at, what they, you know, there are estimates that we make, and those were, they said they were fair estimates. In other words, like depreciation, fair value of investments, things like that are big investments, and they didn't have any corrections, any big adjustments like I just mentioned. So that's the first letter, is called the governance letter, and that's to the board. And then they did have a comment I wanted to point out, page 5, was about they're giving us some suggestions to improve our billings, our billing and collection process at Brookside. They wanted us to try to work better on our collections and, you know, the aging of our collections, and are also suggesting maybe that we need a better software system to combine the collections with our financials. So those are some of the things they're asking, I mean, they're suggesting that we do at Brookside. And I know, Patty, you might want to speak more, but Brookside's already addressed some of these things, and before they even came in, because they come in May, they were already working on these things during the year to improve the receivable system. So if you want to talk a little bit.
Yes, in December, the new fiscal manager at Brookside and Tammy, the CFO, had gotten together with the administration to talk through a better way of monitoring their aging. So they have set up a more analysis and more aging meetings to stay on top of the aging of the receivables to make sure that they are collecting everything that they can. In addition, they also are relying on resources from Human Services to help them with Medicaid. When a resident who is on private pay is getting to the end of their resources, they work with them to help them try to get on Title 19. So we didn't have someone dedicated to us in the past, I mean, specifically that they could rely on. Now there's a good rapport going on. Those are moving along much better. And the receivables have been coming down, and write-offs are more under control.
And a cousin that just went through that with her husband.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a difficult time, and it was also, it was a little difficult for the fiscal manager, who was new to nursing home, to be doing collections. And I said, what you're doing is you're showing them what their options are. So if they're at that point, you're telling them Medicaid is next. You know, let's get you some help.
Well,
so
it can be complex too, because I think that you have that other spouse has to keep something.
That's
where the determination is.
Right.
Because like she had, he's in there, but she's still entitled to go out with her life.
Right. Right.
Did they drain everything they had? I guess they go halfway or something like that. So I don't know if you have to be the formula.
Yeah, and I wouldn't be one to quote what but yes.
That's what I know she went through, yeah.
Yes, exactly. So before the auditors even said anything, they had already started a process. So when the auditors said, we're a little concerned about this, they had a response, and that response is on page 6 of how they were addressing the problem, and the auditors were pleased with that. If the auditors had not been pleased with that, this could have been elevated to the level of a finding. But they were pleased, they felt it needed to be brought up so that everyone's aware of it. No different than last year, their comment was on the delinquent taxes. So they brought that to everyone's attention. They were very pleased with their response. So this year they have just a little sentence that says they're much better this year. And that's it, they write a paragraph on what's not, but that's their job.
But then you can see that, here's the picture of that, the delinquent taxes. You can see the blue line if you want to go to that page, but these are other counties, and where they're at, like around 3 million in delinquent, we were at 8 million, and now we're down to 5.8. So we worked on that this last, you've heard about that already, the process there, but the auditors put that in here to show that we responded to that suggestion last year.
Maybe you know that. Did they change the law? I had a friend years ago, his wife went in a nursing home, and he lost everything, including what he had. They must have changed the law 3 years ago or something. I don't know if I'm not asking.
Yeah, I don't know, because my knowledge only goes back to about 2010.
Yeah.
And at that time, the spouse is still only allowed to keep a certain amount.
Yeah.
They aren't allowed to keep half of everything. They're allowed to keep a house, they're allowed to keep a car, and I believe like up to $50,000 of assets outside of those, whereas the resident is only allowed to have $2,000.
Yeah, in fact, this guy, he went completely broke and had nothing.
Yeah.
He just took it all.
Yeah, and I think maybe they realized that really isn't
Thank
a
you.
Good thing either.
Okay, then, any questions about the management communication? I'll go on to the audit report. The main part of the audit is the auditor's opinion. They say, you know, management is responsible for the preparation and fair presentation of the financial statements. This includes the design, implementation, and maintenance of internal controls. And so that's what part of the stuff they look at. In their opinion, the financial statements referred to above are fairly in all material respects the financial position of the governmental activities. So we have a clean opinion there, and then they also address the compliance, the government audit standards on the second page, that they also issue a report in the audit about the compliance, and that there was no significant deficiencies or weaknesses in our internal controls, and that we complied with all the government requirements. So that's the opinion page, and that's, you know, what their whole audit is geared towards. But our audit report has a little more in it than just financial statements. The first section is called our management discussion analysis, and we put that together, and it's about how the county's doing. There's some graphs in there where the reader can look and see. In other words, like there's a pie chart that shows, can you go to page 9? On the bottom, the page 9 on the bottom. I don't know what page it is there. It's page 9 on the bottom of the page, though. You know. There you go. Just go up a little bit, please. There. That pie chart there shows for our governmental type activities, our revenues are not only just tax levy, but we have other, we have grant, capital grants, operating grants at 40%. We have charges for service 4%, so we're getting revenues. Property taxes is only 42% of our total, revenues for governmental activities. And then if you go, can you go up the page where that other chart is above it? And that those are expenses compared to revenue. So some of our, you know, of course, general government doesn't have, is not producing a lot of revenue, whereas social services has a lot of grants. You can see the orange bars, it's almost covers that whole amount. And there's public safety is, of course, mostly sheriff department, things like that. So it just gives you an idea of the revenue compared to the expenses for those areas. And then on the next page, April, we have the same kind of charts for expenses and revenues of the for-profit funds, which is Brookside, Highway, and Golf Course. You can see Brookside almost covers Highway, has a lot of government funding that's that covers their things, and then the golf course looks pretty even there, as you know. And then on the bottom shows most of their revenue comes from charges for service, and that's the idea of the for-profit funds. There are some property taxes put there, and of course they get, you know, Highway gets grants at Brookside, so it just gives you an idea of where the funding is. And that whole first section talks about how we're doing and projects we have going. On page 14 is the chart you're familiar with that you get here that talks about our general fund and the unrestricted unassigned amount. This year, as you know, we went from 18.4 to 19.6, which was 11 million. We were required to have 17% of our expenses at 11 million. We had 19, so we were 8.3 million over that, and at 29% versus the requirement of 17%. So we have a good, healthy fund balance, which we continue to work on. And I know they report that to you every meeting. That was audited by, you know, for 2017. And then the other section on our audit is the first two financial statements on one on page 21, April, is what we do is show government guidelines. You know, government has a different way of accounting, but what they have us do in these first two statements is convert the government to a for-profit idea. So on the government activities column, you see there's capital assets there. Normally we don't record those on the balance sheet, we just expense those. So these two, the both is the income, the balance sheet and income statement are converted so that you can see, like, we have capital assets that includes our roads, that's 157 million. And then of course the business type, we always do record the assets. So also we also put the long-term debt, you can move down a little bit, April. On that first column, we have long-term liabilities there. Those don't normally go on the balance sheet. They're you know, money we come in with revenue. And these, so this balance sheet shows that. And could you go to the next page? This is a different kind of income statement here, where they have this column is the expenses on this side, and then that way is the revenues. So, like, general government is 29 million, 2.5 comes from charges for service, 1.8 from grants. Some of these, like public safety, has charges for service, like from other governments, that they 9 million in grants. And so it's kind of neat because it shows the expenses and what revenues cover it. And then the tax, then these are the for-profit, the expenses and the revenues. And then if you go down, April, over here is the taxes and shared revenue, that sales tax and stuff, that makes up for this, the lack of, you know, charges for service and that. So it's kind of a different way of looking at it. It has depreciation expense in it that we don't normally put in a government.
Kathy?
Yes?
So you say that the government number is converted to what it would look like if it were business.
Yeah.
And you explain this column, that column. But what are the conclusions that you draw from that? That's what I think the committee would be more interested in.
So what we draw is that, what if you look at the bottom section of the balance sheet, if you can go back, April, is that we have spent, see that the first column says 48 million net investment in capital assets. The government has put money into the structure of the assets of the county, roads, buildings. So we've, and we have debt offsetting that, we're ahead the 48 million. We also have money for debt service. So it shows that we have a strong, healthy county, and we can compare to other counties by they're in the same accounting method. And if you can compare the business type, you can see that there's a large amount of their equity is in their assets also. They have 16 million, which is, you know, the Brookside facilities, the highway, the, you know, all the equipment and things. So mainly I look at that, and a reader, a citizen, could look at that and say, well, we have long-term liabilities, we have these assets on the books, and that it shows the strength of the county.
Questions, comments on that part?
And then I wanted to also point out then on page 23, April, after these two here, this is the balance sheet of it in a government type, which you see no capital assets, no long-term liabilities, but on that first column, the general column, if you could go up a little bit, April. So the fund balance there is broken down, and this is important, you know, the government type is a fund balance. It shows the health of the county. So we have, if you can see there, we have prepaid items that we've paid for. We're saying that's not available to use, it's not unassigned. We have 5.8 delinquent taxes last year. We had 7.6 there. So we went down from 7.6 to 5.8. And then you go to the bottom, it says unassigned, 19.6. That's the number we showed you on that other schedule where we showed the unassigned is very important to the bond rating agencies. And then we can show in the other funds money that we've set aside that are for certain uses, mainly in subsequent year items that we're going, maybe we got bond money, we're going to spend it in the next year. We hold that out and show that we're responsible for it in accounting for it, holding it out for that purpose. There's also an income statement. I don't think I need to go through that too much. And then on page 31 is the business funds, which is Brookside Highway and Golf Course. And you can see the separate columns there. The last column says internal service, and that there's more detail in the back, but that's our insurances and the job center building. And they're accounted for in a for-profit method, so they go on this page. If you go to the income statement, I think you'll see a little more that you're familiar with that. Just one more page, I'm sorry.
Can we ask a couple questions on these
funds
here, Highway and Brookside Golf? Individually, how are these doing? What, for example, Brookside and Golf, how much tax money is going there?
Brookside, for Brookside, they're not getting any tax levy.
Okay.
They're making money to lower the tax levy.
Right.
For Highway, we've got 1.7 million of tax money. The golf course has no tax money. So that's on the income statement on page 32.
And with respect to the golf side, is that breaking even, making money, losing money?
Yeah, if you look at page 32, mm-hmm. That's the income statement. The bottom line says change in net position, that's the net. It shows 484,000 a loss, but we had 688,000 in depreciation. So on a cash basis, we came out ahead, like 200,000 to the good, as we showed you. They're able to cover their liabilities. The depreciation, puts them over a little bit, but on a cash basis, they came out ahead. But when you put depreciation there, throws it.
How'd they come out ahead if it was 484 to the negative?
Because depreciation was 600,000.
I know, but she said the cash.
Right. So depreciation isn't counted in a cash method.
Right.
So it would be your income less your operating expenses.
Yeah, see, I'm just pointing out, yes, they have a loss in accrual basis, which, because we record depreciation, but...
Is accrual basis cash?
No.
No.
Okay. So what are they in cash?
They would
be,
$200,000 to the good.
In just straight up cash without depreciation?
They have $762,000 in cash right now.
I believe.
At the end of the year.
All right, cool.
Some of that money is for, has been set aside for capital assets for the next year. Okay. I'm going to go, then after that, there's a whole section of financial notes explaining how we record things in our funds. On page 59 shows our investments and what we have invested in. We're required to only invest in U.S. government guaranteed items. Page 59. So yeah, just go up a little bit more. There you go. We have $26 million in AIM Dana in the Wisconsin investment pool, and then some money market. So it just shows you that we have very secure investments, and they're all Moody's rating AAA. Except the government pool is not a rated investment.
But so that's with interest rates going up, will that help us, right?
With the interest
with
rates,
our investments,
yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, because it's starting to rise now, so we should be doing better. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. We should see some.
It'll hurt us on our debt.
Yeah.
It'll hurt us on our debt, though.
Yeah.
Well, you got to get it from one end, you get it any other.
Thanks for that, Ron.
Very descriptive.
On page 64, is our schedule of capital assets. I was talking about most of our assets are paid for with our bond money, but you can see that we spent, I'm going to show you this. We have a beginning balance, and then there's $8.5 million there and $9.5 million. That's money we put into our capital assets. And that's the depreciation of related to it. So that's where our debt, our bond money is going to purchase those assets, including infrastructure is roads, bridges, and street lighting and things like that. So you can see where that money went in that schedule. And then also there's a schedule on the next page for money spent with Highway Brookside. Can you go one more? Yeah, one more page.
One more.
Yeah, one more. You can see where it says buildings, $13 million. That's mostly the Brookside building, and then machinery equipment. So that's where most of this money is, paid for with the bond money. And most of those expenses. On page 69, our schedules for our debt. We have the beginning balance. There you go. New debt was $18.5 million on that first row. We paid off $13 million, so we have an ending balance of $106 million in the government type. And just below is shows the Brookside bond, basically. And then our OPEB is also put in there, so that's recording our post-retirement benefits for the county is put on the books too. On the next page, it's just a list. If you were wanting to know at some point, this is a list of our debt, when we issued it, the year it matures, and then the interest rates. You can see those are, we've refinanced quite a bit. I don't think there's any right now that we would refinance, but they're at lower rates now than they have been.
We're doing better than Uncle Sam, though. Mm-hmm.
Okay, I guess if nobody has any questions on that, there are some new things that will happen in our accounting on page 92. There's some new pronouncements coming out. One is There's some changes in the fiduciary activities. We do have a fund where we hold money. We collect money for like the state or other municipalities. We put it in a separate fund because it's not our money. It comes through and we pay it out. Like when we have a marriage license, part of it goes to the state. Well, we have that in a fund, and there's going to be some changes on that, but I don't think it's going to affect our county too much. But the third paragraph there is about leases. We'll be recording. Right now, you only in accounting world, you only record leases that are related to capital items, and now we're going to be recording leases that are operating leases. So if you're paying a rental lease or on an automobile or whatever, those have to go on your books as a liability or a receivable if you're a lessor. So that'll be something we're looking at to record, and that's coming up in 2019.
So that's not just like properties we would lease out to somebody. That's things we have that we lease, like equipment.
Yeah,
like if
yeah.
we leased, I don't know,
copiers. Yeah, yeah.
So all our leases, how many leases do we have?
We're gathering that information now.
Yeah, purchasing takes care. I mean, they have the list, but we'll have to record the future payments, you know, on the books, what we owe. So that'll be something we work.
The first financial statement that this will be effective will be 2020. It's after December.
But we should know what leases we have anyway.
Yeah, we do. It's just that we don't. Personally, right?
But you don't know?
We don't rent too many. Me, personally?
I have a question.
Yeah.
On the unemployment benefit thing, are we in a pool with everybody, including private sector and everything? Is all one pool? Or?
The unemployment?
Yeah. We have an unemployment line. We have to pay until unemployment. Right?
We only pay as we go. So
correct.
If we...
Oh, so we're self-employed.
Basically,
we're self-employed.
Yeah, governments
okay.
and nonprofits
okay.
don't have
right.
to...
Okay. Right. Have I thought, to I thought we were, but I couldn't remember.
We only pay if we lay somebody off and... That's probably not going to happen too much because there's not that many people out there to hire. Okay, then at the end we have supplemental schedules with individual funds. And then there's a letter from the auditors talking about our compliance that I talked about, that we don't have any findings. And then I just, the last thing I wanted to point out was on the very end there's a schedule called the Schedule of Expenditures, federal and state awards. It shows all the grants that come through the county. On page 119, it shows the total federal grants are $28 million. And I think, and the state total is, the state grants are $17 million. So that's the number of, I mean, and you can see the number of pages we have of different grants with different requirements that I was talking about we have to comply with. And I think it's good to know that, you know, that money coming in means we have a lower tax levy. Also, new this last year is the last column we have to show how much we pay out to subrecipients, and that was $6.9 million.
Is that cumulative of all grants that we have even past years? That
no,
one, two,
this
or
is this one
just
year.
In, this is the 1 year? Of
1 year.
Wow.
Yep. So, I mean, that's good. Yep.
That's 45 million grants.
It also shows in the notes, there's notes to that schedule, and it shows how much medical assistance we brought in, 12.4 million. So people, it's not on our books, but people benefited in the county getting those payments for, like you were talking about, Medicaid. So there's some things in there, and it lists that we don't have any findings. That's where our funding sources look to see that we're clean. So, do you have any questions?
All right, that was outstanding.
Jeffrey, do you have any questions?
No, I asked them as we went along. That was outstanding. Thank you.
Just a question.
Yeah.
On the accounting firm, we went out to bid a number of years ago, and they came on board about 4 or 5 years ago now?
It might be a little more than that, but we, let's see, there was options to renew. So there was, it was 5 years and then another five or something like that.
It was 5 years with two or three-year extension, and then we just signed another two-year extension.
Yeah.
Two more?
Because
you don't have to go out for bid this. rebid the job to anybody else?
Not right now.
Yeah, okay.
We're still on the same contract.
Yeah, good.
Any other questions, comments you want to receive and file?
I'll make a motion to receive and file the report.
Second, anyone? Discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye, Kathy.
Thank you.
Thank you. We'll move on now to the tax deed properties.
Always our funnest part of the year.
Funnest part of the year.
Yeah, whose idea was it?
Well, the good news is we could take two off because we did sell them over the counter after the auction.
Which ones?
Actually, there were two in the city that were vacant lots. So that was a good thing. So we got rid of those.
What was that now?
Those were the $2 ones.
Two lots that we were going to bring to reset the price on that didn't sell in the auction. They sold this week. And they actually came in and paid for them, so.
How much?
One was $4,000, one was $2,000. So not too bad.
They're sold.
They're sold.
Weekend money.
So I think we only had about four properties that didn't sell out of the, what did we have, 25 in the auction, Reggie?
Yeah.
A hot market.
We'll have a short report on that that we kind of put together.
All right. Before we start, Zach, did you have your hand up back there?
Yeah, I don't know if Mary, if you know, the property on 20 Beath Ave,
I can't hear you. What did you say?
You know, the property on 28th Ave that's sold, do you know if one of the property owners on either side of that bought that?
No, it was someone that lived on 29th Avenue.
Oh, okay. So I was just curious. Thank you.
Nobody, I don't think anybody bid on it.
Actually, just the one that's marked 28th Avenue?
Yeah, 44.
44.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
All right, so we're starting at 2831 14th Lane.
Okay.
This is a condo.
Yes.
Over by Birchwood condominiums. It's actually not in too horrible condition. It needs a lot of updating and cosmetic work, some repair. And the county is owed $14,101.90, and we thought we'd start the bid at $60,000. It's assessed at $80,900. But it's almost a 1,300 square foot, two floor.
60 grand, huh?
Is it?
Remember, you can
enjoy it. The older stuff?
Well, there's pictures, April. Do you have the pictures for them to see?
I looked. It looks very
nice.
All
right. That's all right.
Yeah, I mean, it's dirty, and, you know, it needs some painting and some cleanup, and but it's not, like, horrendous.
Has it been setting a while, huh?
No, actually, we had the guy that was living in it was in it for quite a while, and he went to court, got an eviction, got extended. So he actually just got out in September.
I've seen worse.
So, yeah, back we were, it was raining the day we were there.
What's it assessed at?
It's assessed at $80,900.
I think 60 is probably right.
I think 60 is a pretty good steal.
Is that a motion?
Yeah, I'll make a motion.
Second.
All right, further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Pass.
Did youth and governance vote?
I heard them.
Okay, all right.
Mary, do you, they come in and offer you 60, you take it, or is it a bidding process?
No, it's a bidding process. It's a silent auction, and people come in and they submit their bids, so they don't know what anybody's bidding. So they have to either determine how much they want to spend on it and put that as their top bid. And then we go with the highest bidder.
Hey, Mary, just off the cuff, how many, as a percentage, just how many percentage-wise do you think bid over what we listed as? Just roughly.
I would say pretty much 90% of them.
Okay.
Bid over, right. unless it's to a property that's to an abutting property owner, mm-hmm. and it can only go to them, mm-hmm. then they kind of, but they're still over. If there's more than one bidding on it, they still go over what the starting bid is.
Right.
So I'd say 95% are better.
Okay.
Usually. Okay, the next property is a duplex on 51st and 29th Avenue. It's overall in pretty good shape. We took a lot of pictures of this one also. It has newer furnace water heater. It's not going to require much to clean it up and get it rented out by someone. We do have a homestead affidavit because the homeowner was living in it and working on it, but just
let it go. So it's assessed at $81,600. The county's owed $11,723. So we were going to start the bid at $55,000.
Discussion?
I move $55,000.
Second.
Any other discussion?
Jeff?
If you could create
just that.
I just.
You want to buy it?
Don't
you?
No.
You want to entice them to come and bid?
I wonder what the houses in the area look like.
Nice.
Well, this house is right off of 52nd Street on 29th Avenue, so it's in like a half a block off of 52nd Street.
Two-car garage.
It's on an alley. It does have a garage there. We didn't get in the garage, so we have no idea what's in it.
Surprise.
Squirrels.
Storage wars.
Yeah. Yeah. And generally, I think what happens is, like you were saying, do people go over the bid? Generally, yes.
Yeah.
Especially if it's a duplex and it's in good condition. And I mean, so starting it at 55, it'll sell and we'll get more.
Okay.
What year was it built? What year was it built, Mary?
1904.
Good
ball.
So almost like new.
It is an old year.
I think the Cubs were in the World Series.
It's a flip or a rehab, you got to calculate what it's going to cost to fix it up.
Yeah, and there's not a lot that they have to do. Yeah. It's got some repair, but it's not.
It's
generally overall
in
good condition, and it doesn't stink.
All right, should we vote on this further discussion?
Those are the bigger things.
I'm ready to vote.
All right, ready.
Then there's a motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Next.
55 it is. Next one is in Silver Lake.
Ooh.
It's a house. Pretty much somebody could buy it and they could move in.
Huh.
I mean, it really just has a little bit of peeling paint.
What'd you hit all the good houses on this?
I know, this is great. Well, this is why we wanted to get them here now to this finance meeting so that we can get them on, up before the end of the year. We don't want to winterize them. We don't want to deal with them.
What is it?
This one actually has furniture. This one actually has furniture in it still, too. It's assessed at $136,000. Houses around it are in the hundreds, 132. We did look at a couple comparables. We thought we'd start it at 90,000. The county's only owed $16,385.
Is that got a basement?
It does have a basement, and it's a finished basement. It does have some dampness in the basement because it's been closed up.
Yeah.
But it's not where somebody can't go in and fix it up. We got some really good pictures of the house.
They're deep, they're high.
Yeah. Looks pretty deep.
It's got a pull-down attic. It's still, it's in good shape. It's in
what year was that built, Mary?
1953.
A nice plunger. Okay.
What is with you, dude?
I'll move this one.
You will.
We had sewer problems this week. That's why I see that plunger. I want you to April, go back to the bathroom in the basement and have them take note of that cute toilet seat.
I mentioned it already.
Yeah.
Did you see that?
Yeah. I haven't done this side.
She's
on the tour with her.
And has a singular focus on that one.
Yeah.
You have to drive her to all these houses in
the
lake.
It's a stone throw from them.
Yeah, no second.
Second.
It's almost on the beach.
So we're paying 90,000 then?
We're all in favor.
How big a lot is it, Mary?
Toilet is
a lot?
That's 30,000
right there. 75 by 125.
Oh, okay, thank you.
That's good.
I had to look at the map.
All right. Any other discussion on this one? Seeing that, all those in favor say aye.
Aye. Let's get it back on the rolls.
Yeah, I don't think we'll have any problem with selling
they
that.
They can move in by Christmas.
The next one is vacant land on 276 and 114th Street. It's 126 by 135. Taxes owed, interest and penalty, well, $21,182. Assessed at $44,300. We thought we'd start it at $25,000. That seems to have been a good price for some of the vacant land in the county.
Discussion.
And it's a buildable single family lot.
Is that a dual lot there? They're combining them to 126 by 135? Is that what I see there?
It's all one parcel.
There is one parcel.
There was
already had been combined at one point.
Okay, I'll move the price that was mentioned.
Is there a second?
Second.
Discussion?
$25.
Just get them out there and get them sold.
Any other discussion? Seeing none, all of you in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Passes.
Okay, the next two were sold, the one on 61st and the one on 28th Avenue, so we can skip over them and go to 4718 10th Avenue. These were on the last auction, the next three that I'm going to talk about, so I'm not going to talk about them too much. We just thought maybe we should lower the price and get them on the next auction, and hopefully they'll sell. The first one, the 3107 is what's owed in taxes, so we put it at 35, just trying to recoup what the county's paid out already.
So that's your new price?
Did we have it at what for?
No, that's what it was up for.
And it didn't sell?
And it didn't sell for $3,500. So we're thinking we'd just lower it down to $2,000 and see if we get them.
I'll move $2,000.
Alright.
Yeah.
Discussion?
Oh, we gotta move that thing out of there.
Discussion?
Just get it out there, bro.
Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
The next one is, again, was at the auction for $6,000, and no one was interested, and it was offered to abutting parcels, but they really didn't want to pay $6,000 for it, so.
What's hold on that one?
Did they throw a number at you?
No.
Okay.
They didn't.
Okay.
Yeah, so.
No, 14, they got it now,
14,600. Total amount paid by the county is $14,680, so we're already below that. It's assessed at $26,800. So if you have a recommendation.
And we couldn't sell it at what?
$6,000.
I move three.
Are you gonna second on three?
I'll second that. Tell the neighbors if they don't buy it this time, we're not gonna give it to them.
Any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Put it on my loss listing.
All right, last one is on 335th Avenue, was again at auction for $15,000. Planning and Development had recommended that we sell it as one large parcel and people could build outside of it. I believe, wasn't this one that was like a little bit bigger lot? It's part of it's in the wetlands.
Just one of the parcels is partial wetland, but they wanted all of the four parcels combined into one large one, and there's plenty of space for building and.
Right, so it has an assessed value at $32,300. Taxes owed are only on, they're just under $5,000. So do we want to shoot it out there just for $5,000, see if we can get rid of it, and that's what the county will recoup their money?
It's a diamond in the rough.
Or $6,000.
Mm-hmm. Very much.
Did anybody bid on this at all?
No.
That's illegal.
Did anybody bid on any of these three?
No.
Not one bid?
No. If there was one bid, we would have sold it.
Unless it was under.
But they know they have to bid the minimum.
That's in Wheatland, right?
Yes.
I'll move the 5,000.
Right, second. For seconds? No? John's
second.
Yeah.
Second.
Oh, John.
Yeah.
He grumbled. I didn't know where you were at. Are you with me or not?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. All right.
We'll buy it together.
Do it.
Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? It passes.
Okay, that's all I have. And then, Jeff had asked us if we could put together a report for the October auction, which Reggie did today. So I'm actually going to let her come up and give the report, since she worked so hard on putting it all together.
Perfect.
With all
Thank
the
you
results
for
of
that.
The auction. Okay.
Maybe you could give an updated report to the county board about how much you made.
This is just for this auction, but we'll get one for the whole
like
year total of all
right.
the auctions. But this is just for the October auction.
Right, and this is just a preliminary because not everyone has paid. So this is taking, we auctioned 25 properties, we sold 21. We've collected payment from 17 of them, and we have four more that need to pay, and they've all called, so they plan on coming in tomorrow. So hopefully everything will go all right. But overall, we brought in $421,689. That's the total proceeds from this auction. The amount of taxes that will be paid back to the county through that is $163,575.93. And that's money we paid out already, so we're getting that back out of that $400,000. And then there's other fees, the treasurer's tax deed fee, the county clerk fees,
the amounts that we recovered there for the tax deed fees, $3,204.34, and county clerk fees, $3,449.99. So altogether, we recovered from taxes and fees a total of $170,230. What we gained in pure profit, which is the interest and penalty, and then just over and above all of the interest and penalty and specials and all that getting paid, was $174,740. So altogether, coming back to the county, would be $344,970. The amount of taxes that we had to will have to write off, because on some of the lots, there's higher taxes than what the lots are valued at, so we can't sell them. So this is where we take the hit, is on the vacant land. But it's only $35,309. So overall, the county will be ahead $309,661.
Is that so? It's only $175,000 though, after you add in everything, right? Take off all our expenses, just cash in pocket is $175,000.
Is $174,000.
Rounded up because I'm a
right.
positive guy.
Yeah, but yes, that's all. That's like above and beyond.
Right,
everything
else. So
right.
That's a number I like.
And then also, it's good to get the money back that we paid out. We don't get to collect the interest and penalty all the time on all these. So some of it, they balance out. So that's what we're trying to mix them. Like this next auction we have, again, we'll have probably a half a dozen houses or duplexes on it. And that's really where we're making like the money to balance out the loss on the other properties. So, or I don't want to say making the money, but that's where it's balancing us out. And I will do a complete results for the county board. And hopefully we'll have one more auction before the end of the year, and then we'll be able to give like a year-end total.
So that money, not everybody needs to remember that not only did we pay off all everything we put in, we had extra money in our pockets, plus all this stuff is now back on the tax roll.
Correct.
So I mean,
correct.
This is this project is
huge.
Bearing great fruits.
Yeah.
Well, yes. Say one thing too. We had a meeting with IT and with our project manager, that Janae, that's working with our tax deed task force. And one of the things we're looking at doing next year possibly is putting an online auction where people are actually bidding online at the county website and putting their amounts in, and people can actually see what people are bidding. So then they can go over the bid if they want to go over the bid. They're not going to pay online, but they're going to be able to bid online. So that's our goal for next year, is to get that going, and hopefully for the next the first year auction, if it all falls into place and gets approved. So
is that legal?
Yeah.
That'd be an actual auction then. I could go in and bid.
A lot of counties use Wisconsin Surplus online, and they sell their properties like that. They just give it to Wisconsin Surplus, they here sell them. And they just, then Wisconsin Surplus gets a percentage of whatever the sale is, and the county gets a check. But I think the way we do it is a lot better for the county, because we're giving people more information on the properties, and then people are bidding more money because they can see what they're getting. Where the other ones, it's just, this is the property, this is the parcel number, this is the amount.
And they just get like a map like that.
And they get a map like that, and that's it.
Is there any type of qualification? I mean, can people just sit at a computer and
punch
in a number?
That was one of the things that we discussed about making sure it's a real person and it's not just somebody that's messing with the auction and just throwing in numbers. So we're looking at ways that we can make it so that they have to have some kind of an identifier that shows who they are, whether or not they have to come to our office with a driver's license or some kind of information, and they get a number, a bidder number, then they become that bidder. So we've looked at that too, or like CAPTCHA, where I'm not a robot,
So if you're on Digest, like, what are you talking about?
What are you talking
about? When you go online and you're doing stuff and you're going on an account, there's a little thing called CAPTCHA that comes up, and you have to actually read, and, you know, like, they'll have, like, letters or numbers. You have to put that in to show that you're not a robot, because a robot's not going to be able to read that or see that and then put the right thing.
Oh, yeah,
right,
some of those are hard to read.
Yeah. They are hard.
Screw that up.
So, but anyway, that's just one of the goals that we're setting and that we want to try and do for next year.
So right now when people bid, they don't see what other people are bidding.
Right, it's a silent bid. So they have envelopes and they just put it in an envelope with the parcel number. And then on the auction day, we're downstairs in the lobby. Everybody comes and they're standing around and we open the envelopes and read off the bids, and then people know whether or not they're the successful bidders.
So read it
online. I think so. We're thinking that, right, because you'd still bid.
There'll still be a minimum bid requirement. So they can't go lower than our minimum bid requirement, which is what we set here. But then people can see if they're willing to spend a certain amount. They can see if somebody's spending 50, well, I'm going to make it 55 or 52. Well, this guy's going to come back and bid 55. Well, then I'm going to go up to, you know. So they'll be able to see it. If they really want the property, then they're going to be able to bid higher for it.
I'm trying to, we don't buy up special assessments. We just buy up the delinquent taxes.
Correct.
So when we sell those properties and there's special assessments on it that, you know, the water bill is up, and do we pay the city that part plus the interest that was, how do we work
there's,
that?
There's a formula that prorates, and I didn't go into giving you numbers,
yeah.
But there's a formula that prorates how much goes to tax interest, tax penalty, special assessment,
interest, and penalties at 6, so you got 18%, right?
The municipality will receive their special assessment and the special assessment penalty. The county receives tax interest, tax penalty, and special assessment interest.
So we get the 12% part, and they get the 6 that, okay, I got
and we get paid first. So
yeah,
whatever is left over, then it gets dispersed to the other entities.
So out of this auction, about $77,000 will go back to the municipalities.
Okay.
Though the municipalities...
Is that mostly water bills and stuff? Or?
Water bills are just outstanding. We don't do anything with water bills. Whoever buys the property, if there's outstanding water bills...
I think he means when they're rolled over onto the tax bill.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Current ones aren't, though.
Yeah. But the city has a lot more to write off than we do.
Yeah.
Because they've done a lot of the raising on these properties, and like one of these that we sold, the city's fees were $315,000.
Oh,
and the property isn't worth.
Yeah, right.
And so, I mean, we have to write off. We have to write off $13,000, but they have to write off, you know,
But they're getting their property back.
It wasn't a house. It was a business. It was that acre.
Yeah, but it would be about 300 years before they get the back taxes back.
It was Roosevelt Road, and it was a huge commercial building that they took down.
Oh, yeah. Like a gas station and stuff like that.
Exactly.
Any questions?
Yeah.
So I have more comment. I like the idea of the online auction. I'm not trying to milk the taxpayers here. But, I mean, do you often see where it is, you know, 60,000 and somebody bids way over.
Yes.
So, for me, an idea, I don't know what the others think of this, but instead of saying, you know, you've been outbid, the bid is 62, leave it just say, you know, you've been outbid, and then it keeps the buyer guessing, well, kind of maybe. Again, not trying to
know. Oh, I see
them,
what you're,
you know what
you're saying. Yeah, you're saying you've been outbid, they would put more.
Yeah, it's like, don't give
them
a
well,
dollar.
Well, it's still, it's actually a work in progress.
No, no,
we just had one meeting on it, but that's a good suggestion.
But I like it,
yeah, well, you ain't bid.
Right,
on
then they would just
want to
put
know
in,
what you're bidding
like,
against.
Like when you, I haven't been on eBay forever, but like bidding on eBay, it would be like that, yeah.
Well, and we've had people at the auction that have said, well, why don't we just open it up here to whoever wants to bid more?
Yeah,
but
you
really can't, because that's just not the way the procedure is. So
yeah, but
he, you
know, 70 or not.
All right, any other questions? Everybody's good?
All right, thank you.
Thank you, Reggie.
All right, thank you.
Sir, did the bills circulate around?
Yes.
On it? All right, very good. And reports, is there something from Human Services? Or Human Resources, I'm sorry.
Good evening, Chairman Rose, committee members, and thank you for your vote of confidence earlier. We just wanted to let you know that we've been working on an update for the employee handbook, and we are preparing that for your consideration. We hope to have it complete Tuesday evening. We thought we could share paper copies with those in attendance at that county board meeting so that you'd have them to review prior to when we discuss it on the 23rd.
All right. Thank you. General fund.
General fund report. Please, for your attention, pull out the report that's here in landscape form. I'll direct your attention to the two boxes at the bottom of the page here. That shows that for this month, we're projecting the unassigned general fund balance to go up to 21.18, 19 million. A 1.55 increase over last year, which is just shy of a improvement of almost 400,000 from last month, which puts our percentage from 30.66 to 31.25.
So, you know, when my budget comes up, there's that proposal that certain amount of money over and above a given percentage would be in a different fund. Maybe you can, not tonight, then, at least give us more of a historical perspective, because for the last, 6-8 years, we see this upward trend, and we think, like, this never stops, everything goes up, and as we know, everything doesn't always go up. And it would be well, I think, to see more of a historical perspective over a longer period of time that I think will demonstrate that it isn't always up. And a number of years ago, when there was the recession, as a matter of fact, there was some borrowing to beef up that. And it's something that...
We're well below our 17% minimum.
Yes, exactly. Because this way it looks like this is an easy thing. Right. It always goes up no matter what. I don't think that's accurate. Anyway.
And I believe this 31% is the highest we've ever been.
I'm sure it is. So I think in terms of the discussion of that proposal, that would be something.
I've only been here 20 years. Some of the largest ones that have changed from the prior month would be the first line, the decrease in the tax delinquencies. Mm-hmm. That improved 300,000, as you heard tonight, as part of that. The sales tax number came down a couple hundred thousand. We had a month where it was a little down, but from month to month, sometimes the timing of the sales tax can affect that. I anticipate that to go back up. The health insurance surplus deteriorated a little bit from 400,000 to 150, but we're still looking at a surplus. Human services improved from a $290,000 deficit for the second quarter. They are projecting an $83,000 surplus. This is the third quarter report that they gave.
What's the difference? Can you relate to that at all?
Will report next month. Actually, when they present the budget, she'll do the third quarter report. She can speak to it at that time.
I believe most of it was revenue that they were able to obtain.
Yes. Thank you.
When we have these, like, health insurance surplus or not, is this attributable to increased costs, or are we having some extraordinarily high medical bills because of something or other?
It fluctuates. Mm-hmm. This was definitely related to claims coming in at 3 or 4 mm-hmm. weeks of high claims.
What was that now?
We had three or four weeks of high claim, big dollar claims that came through.
So what about the factor of health insurance, health expenses going up? Same thing costing more money.
Right. On average, the health claim cost trend is about 8%. Pharmacies, 10 to 12%. So even with that trend, we're still trending in a surplus so far this year.
If you remember last year, there were some plan design changes to the health insurance, which probably is impacting how, I mean, the costs are what they are, but the employees are bearing more of a burden of some of the costs. of some of the procedures and things like that. Their copays may be a little bit higher, things like that. There were also some other plan design changes that didn't have a direct impact on employees, but we're seeing we had rejected certain cost savings from those, and those are coming.
The only other items I'd like to mention is just vacancy improved slightly from 560 to 500,000, and that the workers' comp liability insurance internal service funds improved slightly. So overall, we're $9.6 million over our 17% minimum, which puts us at 21 million, 21.2 approximately.
Discussion on this fund? Then we'll move on to the, are there any other reports here? Human Services Treasurer. That concludes the agenda.
Move to adjourn.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
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 I didn't hear youth and governance. They want to stay?
You know what? You got to sit on this end of the table then next time.